The Book Nook on WYSO is presented by the Greene County Public Library, with additional support from the Clark County Public Library, Washington Centerville Public Library, Wright Memorial Library, and Dayton Metro Library.
Good morning. You're listening to WYSO in Yellow Springs. I'm Vic McCunis. I have the Book Nook coming up for you, and one of the best-selling books in the country right now is a nonfiction book by David K. Johnston. It's called It's Even Worse Than You Think, What the Trump Administration is Doing to America. David K. Johnston will return to the program to talk about this new book, It's Even Worse Than You Think. But first, let's check in with National Public Radio for the news, and then we'll bring you the Book Nook. Hello, welcome to the Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McCunis, and I'd like to welcome back to the program today David K. Johnston. He joins us by telephone from Rochester, New York. Hello, David.
Hello, Vic. Glad to be back.
David, I see you have one of the hottest-selling books in the country right now. It's called It's Even Worse Than You Think, What the Trump Administration is Doing to America. Why do you think this book is so popular?
Well, because it provides you with information that isn't anywhere else, or if it is, it's briefly and without context. The number one book in the country, Fire and Fury, is a good read about the palace intrigues in the White House and the craziness there. And it's written by a first-rate gossip writer, but he is a gossip writer, Michael Wolff. It also confirms what was in my previous book, The Making of Donald Trump, about who Trump is and the people around him. My book, It's Even Worse Than You Think, is about what the Trump administration is doing to America, to our government. And that affects you. The palace intrigues are interesting and entertaining, but they don't really affect you directly. What I write about does. Your safety, your health, your income, your retirement security, your welfare, your children's and grandchildren's welfare. That's what I go into. And essentially, I tell the story through people, through stories of how the Trump administration has loosed what I call political termites who are eating away at the substance of our federal government and damaging it and damaging you.
Explain how Donald Trump is like no other president that we've ever known.
Well, every previous president of the United States was in one way or another about making the country better. We've had bad presidents, good presidents, smart ones, dumb ones. We've had a racist murderer, Andrew Jackson, whose portrait hangs in the Oval Office now. We've had presidents who tried and failed and presidents who succeeded. We've had honest ones, corrupt ones, but every single one of them tried in some way to make the country better. The best parallel to Trump would be Chester Arthur, who was vice president for 31 days and then became president when his candidate died. And I think it was 31 days, but very briefly. And his cronies, because he was an utterly corrupt New York politician, were invited to the White House, and they were told, gentlemen, get lost. Do not darken the door of the White House. The stuff we used to do will not happen while I'm president. And from Chester Arthur, we got the Pendleton Civil Service Act, which Donald Trump's team is now trying to undo to return us to a patronage government. Donald Trump's presidency is about one thing. It is about the glorification of Donald Trump, period, full stop. Donald claims to have the world's greatest memory, except when he can't recall. He claims to be an expert on 20 subjects and to be the world's most informed expert throughout history on the subject of taxes, a subject on which I am a world-recognized authority. And yet he knows nothing of these things he claims to be an expert about. He's just conning people, as he has done his entire life.
Someone mailed you some of his tax information. Do you know who sent that to you?
Well, I got Donald's 2005 Form 1040, which was chock full of useful information if you understood the tax system. And I don't know who sent it. It has a postmark, which I gave to various newspapers, showing it was mailed from Westchester County, where Donald has a golf course. I suspect it was sent by Trump or his direction. Donald has a long history of leaking things he wants out there, including to me in the past. So I suspect he sent it. July 31st of 2016, and the next day, August 1st of 2016, the New York Post ran a series of porn photos of his wife. I mean, pictures of a bed with a mattress pressed against a bare wall with harsh lighting and girl-on-girl photos. And you might think most people running for president would scream bloody murder about that, but the Trump campaign issued a statement saying that they were perfectly happy that those pictures were out there with strategically placed stars in the New York Post. And that tells you that Donald either leaked the pictures or he told someone to go ahead and put the pictures out there.
David K. Johnston joins us. His book is It's Even Worse Than You Think, What the Trump Administration is Doing to America. You've known him a long time, haven't you?
Almost 30 years.
And you first were studying casinos when you encountered him, isn't that right?
Yes. I left the Los Angeles Times, where I had been an investigative reporter for a dozen years. I was the first person to seriously examine the Los Angeles Police Department, which had a much different reputation then than it does now. And in 1987, the U.S. Supreme Court issued a decision about Indians owning casinos that I realized meant that there would be casino gambling all across America. The editors of the L.A. Times were disbelieving of this. You know, how can you possibly know what's going to happen in the future?
Huh.
And so I went to the Philadelphia Inquirer because New Jersey claimed that they had cleaned up the casino business, that it wasn't like Nevada, and they'd shown that you could take this vice-ridden, historically corrupt industry and clean it up, and I wanted to study whether it did. They did not, by the way, as I showed in my 1992 book, Temples of Chance, which Trump is prominently in. They're not as bad as Nevada, but they went nowhere near cleaning it up. And right off, I met Donald Trump, and my first reaction to him when I just did a meet and greet and watched him with a group of people was, he's our P.T. Barnum.
Mm-hmm.
Come see the Fiji Mermaid.
Mm-hmm. Well, David, last time we had you on, he was still candidate Trump for the book, The Making of Donald Trump. And what would we learn if we could actually see his tax returns? He kept saying during the campaign that he would release them, but they were being audited. How long does one of these audits take?
Well, that's a ruse. There's no reason not to release your return when you're under audit. It doesn't change anything. Richard Nixon released his returns. He was under audit. As many, many tax lawyers, tax law professors, and I have pointed out, that was a nonsense excuse. What he didn't want was scrutiny of his taxes. And he claims he's under audit every single year. That would be very unusual, but there are people who are audited every year. I've written about a couple of them. And they are people the government has persuaded are wholesale tax cheats.
Mm.
Donald Trump's 1984 New York State and New York City income tax returns were both the subject of tax fraud trials, civil trials, but tax fraud trials. Trump claimed over $600,000 of deductions for a consulting business that had no revenue. He could not produce any books, records, receipts of any kind to justify the deductions. And in one of the trials, his tax lawyer and accountant of many years standing testified under oath, quote, that's my signature on the tax return, which was a photocopy. But neither I nor my firm prepared that tax return. That is stunning evidence of criminal tax fraud. And I'm sure that Donald Trump's returns will have all sorts of squirrely things in them. And if you had the subpoena power that Robert Mueller's office has, and could get at the books and records, and as the IRS can do, that there will be clear evidence of years of massive tax fraud by Donald Trump.
Mueller has been warned to stay away from Donald Trump's taxes, hasn't he?
Yes, because Trump knows how vulnerable he is. I mean, a man who Donald Trump has a long history of lying under oath, lying on forms. For example, when his New York City hotel, his first big deal, the Grand Hyatt, was audited because instead of getting about $2.6 million a year, one year the city got a check for about $600,000. And when first of all, Trump's lawyer said, you have no right to audit our books. Well, the contract said they did. Then they said, well, your opportunity to audit the books passed. Well, they lost that. Then they said, all right, come on this date. And then they said, oh, we can't show them to you. Nobody's available. Later, they said the records had been destroyed in a flood. Then they said, well, there were backup records in Chicago because the auditors found out about that. And they said, oh, I'm sorry. Last night, somebody accidentally erased them. The auditors didn't give up. And eventually, they found all the records hidden in a storage locker in New Jersey. And they showed that Trump had cheated the city out of about $2 million. Trump will go to great lengths to hide his cheating.
In your book, you mention a moment in one of the debates between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton during the presidential campaign in which she was talking about his taxes, and he boasted that by not paying taxes, it's because he's smart.
Well, if we were all that smart, of course, we wouldn't be a free people. We wouldn't have law enforcement, a military, food inspection. You wouldn't be able to open a can of tuna without worrying that it would kill you. It's not smart to not pay your taxes. It's perfectly reasonable to pay the minimum the law allows. But, of course, when you lobby for laws that favor you, which Trump has done, that's not exactly the same as paying the minimum the law allows. That's getting the government to do your bidding. And one of the key things I show in It's Even Worse Than You Think, the current book, is how Trump has been putting into our government these political termites who are undoing mandatory laws like the Clean Air Act and the Clean Water Act and essentially telling polluters, tax cheats, employers who follow unsafe practices, and there are some who do, and predatory lenders that they can do whatever they want. There'll be no enforcement of the law, and people inside who push for that will be squeezed to leave or assigned to jobs where they can't be effective. There's an executive in the Interior Department, for example, who is now assigned to process oil royalty checks, a job that should be done by a clerk.
You're listening to 91.3 WYSO, giving voice to our community, our nation, and our world. It's the Book Nook. My guest is David K. Johnston. His book is It's Even Worse Than You Think, What the Trump Administration is Doing to America. And I'm going to ask David to perform a termite inspection right after this. It's the Book Nook on WYSO. David K. Johnston returns to the program. His new book, which is a big bestseller at the moment in nonfiction, It's Even Worse Than You Think, What the Trump Administration is Doing to America. You've mentioned termites a couple of times. What do you mean by a termite, David?
Trump personally is not doing the appointing. Donald only works about 5 hours a day as president, and that includes lunch. The White House has acknowledged this. And it's the team he brought with him. And so what they did was they put people, many of whose names are only technically in the public record, who were not the subject of Senate confirmation hearings or review of who they are, into advisory and temporary management positions in the federal agencies. Now, federal law allows emergency appointments without preclearance of people for up to 130 days. And you need that. I mean, you could have an important executive who, God forbid, gets sick or dies or is somehow incapacitated or has to leave the job because of, family matter or other matter. And you need to be able to put somebody in right away, but only for 130 days. We are now well past 370 days, and some of these people are still there, and Congress has not ordered their removal, as it should. These folks operate within the bureaucracy. So, for example, in It's Even Worse Than You Think, I tell the story of a woman named Betsy Outlander, who was a longtime manager executive working on the Clean Water Act at the EPA. EPA administrators would come by her office routinely, all the way back to Christy Whitman, the former governor of New Jersey. And they would say, you know, this industry or that company is complaining about this or that rule or how we're enforcing it and what should we do and how do we deal with this? And they would hammer out, you know, what to do. Once Scott Pruitt, the former Oklahoma attorney general who sued the EPA 14 times and has promised to destroy it, became the head of EPA, people he appointed under him, people you've never heard of, went around and said, first of all, they locked the doors to the executive offices, and if you're asked, if you're summoned to those offices, you have to empty your pockets and leave your cell phone. They began ordering people like Betsy's team to draft highly, highly detailed, extensive reports on every weakness in enforcing the pollution laws, every single problem. They didn't. If they were interested in enforcing the law, they would have come back and said, okay, what kind of legislative remedies do we need so that these aren't problems? Instead, these reports were taken from them and never another word spoken, and I think we can reasonably assume they're now in the hands of the polluters and their lawyers. That's the kind of termites that I'm talking about, and it's not just happening at EPA. It's happening throughout this administration and our government.
David, it seems to me from reading your book that journalists really aren't doing their jobs.
Well, they're doing an excellent job of covering the palace intrigues and the tweets and the nuttiness in the White House, much better than I expected. But just as they utterly failed during the campaign to do what we normally do, and that is called a scrub of the candidate. For example, you know, from the New York Times alone, I can tell you the names of Barack Obama's playmates when he was a kindergartner in Indonesia, the boys he smoked dope with in Hawaii when he was in high school, and even the names of some of the women he dated in college and law school. There was no scrub of Donald Trump. And I tried every way I could to get the New York Times, where I worked for many years, the LA Times, the Washington Post, others, to dig into these matters. I wrote numerous articles. It wasn't done. In terms of the administration now, newspapers and especially TV and radio only rarely and minimally cover government. They tend to cover politics and controversy, not our government. And so I was certain that there would not be coverage of what's going on in our government. And notice I always say our government, not the government. We, after all, own it. It's ours. We should act like owners. So I set out, even before Trump took office, to work on a book that would tell you what his administration was doing to our government.
Because you knew he was going to win the election.
No, this was, I started out on this. I mean, I was the, right off the bat in 2015, said he might get elected. Pay attention, be serious, and was, you know, regarded by my peers as being out in space. But this was right after he won the Electoral College. He lost the popular election, but he won the Electoral College. And do you know why the Electoral College is in our Constitution? It's there as a check and a balance, just like Congress and the courts and the presidency are supposed to check and balance each other. The framers of our Constitution were worried about mob mentality and the passions of people being inflamed. And so in the event that they put somebody totally unsuited to be president, somebody who was a demagogue or crazy or unqualified, the job of the Electoral College was to refuse that person the presidency. Unfortunately, we haven't needed it, and so the Electoral College has atrophied, and only a handful of electors did their constitutional duty in voting against Trump, who is manifestly unqualified, as I show in both books.
David K. Johnston joins us. His book is It's Even Worse Than You Think, What the Trump Administration is Doing to America. As we are recording this, it is Tuesday, February 6th. Yesterday, President Trump was in Cincinnati, and from what I'm seeing in the press, he apparently made a statement, and I'm just paraphrasing, that the Democrats who didn't applaud him at the State of the Union address were being treasonous. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Yeah, that's the language of a dictator. And one of the things I've been warning people consistently is that Donald, who has no understanding of our Constitution, he doesn't even understand what Article 2 of our Constitution says are the duties, powers, and limits of the executive, the president, is a dictator in waiting. Donald has said numerous things about, you know, federal judges who don't rule the way he wants, you know, there's something wrong with them, or they're dishonest or corrupt or biased. Congress doesn't do what he wants, you know, it's bad for them. He has this mistaken notion that he is like Vladimir Putin, that he is our ruler, and he's not. He is our subordinate. He is our employee who has been temporarily vested with limited powers. By the way, this talk about treason, a lot of people on the left and liberals and some centrists talking about Trump being treasonous. You cannot commit treason except during time of war under our Constitution. The United States has not been in a state of war since August of 1945. We've been in lots of combat, but those are not, under the Constitution, wars. Only Congress can declare war. The correct terms to use would reasonably be traitor, which is a different and a political term, or disloyal. But in Trump's case, to suggest that if you don't stand up and applaud what he says, those are the words of a dictator. Those are not the words of an American president. Those are the words of someone who thinks that he reigns rather than administers.
He is a master at creating distractions.
Donald has always been an expert at getting you to see what he wants you to see and not what he doesn't want to. It's one of the skills in him that I've always admired. Just as, you know, I spent a lot of time once with the mob's number two hitman on the West Coast. And, he had never been arrested. He was very proud of this fact. And when I would call cops and FBI agents who knew him and knew the crimes he'd committed, you know, they had this sort of admiration for him, that he was such a good hitman, they couldn't ever arrest him, even though they were certain he had committed various crimes. And in the same way, you know, I admired Donald's masterful skill at getting you to pay attention to what he wants you to pay attention to, and then to distract you from that which is going to be a problem for him. And boy, is he good at it.
During his State of the Union address, he also made it very clear that he feels personally responsible for the rising stock market. But he's been pretty quiet on Twitter the last few days, hasn't he?
Well, this is a good example of his unfitness to hold office. If you're going to claim credit for a rising stock market, then you're going to have to live with a falling one. And at some point, Donald's going to have to address this, especially if the market falls sharply, as it may. You know, over the long haul, stock markets rise because we create more wealth. But they don't get there in an even slope. They go up and down. You know, under Obama, the stock market almost tripled. From the low point in March of 2009, 2 months after he took office, until he left office, there was more job creation on average per month under Obama once the hemorrhaging stopped in 2010, 14 months into his administration, than there's been in the year under Trump. Although, to be fair, you would expect that because as we near full employment, there would be a slowdown in the number of jobs, but there's a significantly lower number of jobs on average during Trump's time in office. But Trump doesn't know any of these things. He is completely unsuited to be president. He, you know, he talks about how he has an economics degree. He didn't earn that degree. It was given to him. And his own statements under oath that I quote in the book and statements people have seen him make on television are statements that nobody with a basic understanding of economics, not even the level needed to have a degree in economics, would ever make. For example, he said he was going to make Mexico pay for the wall by putting a 20% tariff on goods exported from Mexico to the United States. Well, anybody who's just taken economics 101 should know that a tariff is paid by the consumer. We Americans would be paying the price in higher prices on Mexican goods and higher prices on competing American goods, which could be raised to almost the level of the Mexican goods plus the tariff. Mexico would not be paying for it. But quite frankly, on economics, Trump is absolutely a certifiable ignoramus.
My guest is David K. Johnston. His book is It's Even Worse Than You Think, What the Trump Administration is Doing to America. I was surprised to learn in your book that he actually had a paper route.
Yes. And when it rained or snowed, he delivered papers from the back seat of Daddy's limousine.
We also hear President Trump declare that during his first year in office, he's accomplished more than any other president. What are some of the things that he's accomplished that are good? What are the good things he's done, David?
Well, frankly, I try very hard to find things that will counter the story I'm telling you, and they're just not there. He got a Supreme Court appointment, but of course, that appointment rightfully went to Barack Obama until Mitch McConnell discovered a section of the Constitution that nobody else can find that says a president in his last year may not nominate someone. He has gotten a record number of judicial appointments since taking office because Republicans would not approve qualified appointees of Barack Obama, including Republicans. And some of the people Trump has put forward have withdrawn after they were humiliated in Judiciary Committee hearings that showed that they were totally unqualified to be traffic court judges, much less Federal Circuit Court or Federal Appeals Court judges. The tax bill that was signed, and tax is my area of expertise. In fact, my next book, Vic, is a proposal for an entirely new American tax system for the 21st century economy, because our current system was designed more than 100 years ago for the industrial economy we no longer live in, and it's messing up our country badly. The tax bill was nothing like Trump promised. Trump said the first $50,000 a married couple earn, or $25,000 for a single person, would be exempt from tax, that he would not benefit in any way, and that it would be oriented to individuals. Well, the tax bill, and also Trump ran against the deficit, $19 trillion, way too big, have to bring it down. Well, the tax bill will add, at a minimum, $1.5 trillion to the deficit, and we're seeing already the deficit rising quickly. People have probably read or seen stories about how Apple is paying $38 billion in taxes, and a lot of other companies are paying taxes to bring profits back from offshore. Well, that's not true, as DCReport.org, singular, DCReport.org, that I and my friends run as a volunteer project have reported. Those companies paid 8% of the numbers that they told shareholders about this year. They have 8 years to pay all the money, and 50% of it will be paid in 2024 and 2025. What they got from Congress was a zero-interest loan equal to the taxes they owe, paid in installments with the large balloon payments at the end. That's a huge benefit that some of them will actually literally turn a profit on. For individuals, the $50,000 you were promised tax-free for a couple, it's only $24,000. If you're a police officer, you no longer get to deduct the cost of buying your uniform, your Sam Brown belt, your gun, your bullets, or anything else under this law. But people like Donald Trump, who own a private jet, get increased federal tax subsidies for themselves. More than 80% of the tax cuts go to the 1%. Now, half of the 1% are two-income working couples. They're not coupon clippers. They're just people who got an education or a business and did well and work hard all year, mostly married couples who both work. Most of the benefits, more than half, go to people who make over $2 million a year. And so the tax bill that was passed, while Trump ballyhoos how great it is, wasn't at all like what he promised, and it gives crumbs to ordinary people. Desperately needed crumbs, I wouldn't dispute for a moment, but crumbs.
It's even worse than you think, what the Trump administration is doing to America, the new book by David K. Johnston, who joins us in the Book Nook today. And the Book Nook will continue right after this. You're listening to the Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McCunis, and David K. Johnston joins us on the program today. His new book is called It's Even Worse Than You Think, What the Trump Administration is Doing to America. Candidate Trump talked really tough on China. What changed?
Well, listeners should ask themselves, have they ever heard of the RCEP? The RCEP. And if you haven't heard of it, you really need to be worried about what Donald Trump is doing on trade. Donald Trump was going to get tough with China. He kept saying China was stealing our jobs. And there are real problems with our trade agreements. I don't dispute that for a minute. In fact, Trump got his trade policy out of my, and his other economic policies, not his racial policies, but his economic and trade policies out of a trilogy of books that I wrote, Perfectly Legal, Free Lunch, and The Fine Print. And I know he watched me on TV talking about him. Donald doesn't read books, but he got the message in my books, which he distilled into he was going to drain the swamp. In fact, he turned Washington into a paradise for swamp monsters. But in the case of China, right after he became president, President Xi of China came to Mar-a-Lago. The Chinese government granted very rapidly, and unusually rapidly, a whole series of intellectual property rights to the Trump family. And Trump completely changed his tune about China, stopped calling them a currency manipulator. Meanwhile, he killed the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which was a 13-nation Pacific Rim trading zone led by the U.S. There were real problems with the TPP. I was a prominent early critic of it because it gave too much power to monopolists and it took away human rights. But those are things that could be fixed. Well, Trump killed the TPP and then did nothing. And into this void stepped China with the RCEP, the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership. 15 Pacific Rim countries plus India, but not the U.S. And Chinese diplomats and trade emissaries are telling these countries and others that want to join in, you need to pivot away from Washington. America is in decline. Look at who is in their White House. You need to pivot to Beijing. We are a government run by serious, thoughtful, educated people who are going to build the prosperous future, not America. And they are having success. I was in Australia to lecture on tax policy and on Trump in October and November. And what I was struck by was everybody I spoke to there, academics, government officials, the chambermaid who handled my room, cab drivers, all said that they see Australia, the most loyal ally America has had for many decades, pivoting towards Beijing because it has to because of Trump's lack of leadership. And they're all concerned and disturbed about this because Beijing is a dictatorship run by the nine thugs who call themselves the Politburo. But the RCEP, in the long run, this won't happen tomorrow, won't happen even particularly if Trump gets two terms through the end of his presidency, the RCEP will diminish America's standing in the world, it will diminish our economy, but it will make China the leading power in the world if we don't get back into the game.
You just mentioned if Trump gets two terms, and I'm sure that some of our listeners flinched for a moment, but I actually am of a school of thought that that's quite possible.
Oh, no, it's entirely possible. What matters is who turns out to vote. 100 million Americans did not vote in the last election, and I believe the most important election in this country since the Civil War, and I include 1932 in that, is the upcoming congressional and senatorial elections in November. Either we're going to see the historic, normally we get the loss of a lot of seats by the party that's in power, and the normal loss of seats, the average for the last 75 years or so, would lead to the Democrats taking control, but they may not, and because they're not organized, and their campaign message so far is we're against Trump. It's not, what are we going to do for you? How are we going to make things better? And so it's entirely possible that the Republicans will remain in power, and if they do, Trump may well get elected to a second term. I'd never, never, ever under-guess where Trump is, underestimate.
David, are you willing to make any predictions about how the Mueller investigation will eventually turn out?
Oh, sure. Mueller and his team is a remarkable group of highly competent people. And, of course, Mueller was a valorous officer in Vietnam, a federal judge. He's the second longest-serving FBI director. He served under two presidents, and a deadly serious guy. They have Trump's tax returns. They have done extensive interviews with people you may never hear of but who are very important, people who were in the room when various conversations took place. We know as a fact that the Trump campaign was in a conspiracy with the Russians to defeat Hillary Clinton. And the reason I can say that so affirmatively is go read the June 2016 email to Donald Trump Jr. from, it's on the internet, from Rob Goldstone. About the fourth paragraph says, as part of Russia and its government's support for the Trump campaign. Well, to accept support from a foreign government is illegal. To accept it from a hostile foreign power like the Kremlin is worse than illegal. It's disloyal. There is only one thing that any adult in America who isn't inclined to be a traitor does when they get an email like that. They pick up the phone, they call the FBI and say, I need to speak to someone in counterintelligence. Donald Trump Jr. lied about the existence of such a memo 30 days after he got it. And that after it finally came out, because the New York Times sussed out its existence, so Donald Trump Jr. made them public, that there were six consecutive and irreconcilable lies told by the White House, one dictated by the president himself, tells you how deeply worried Trump is about his relationship with the Kremlin. And at a minimum, at an absolute minimum, Donald Trump has divided loyalties. The notion that an American president would denounce the CIA and the military intelligence operatives, agencies, the NSA and the FBI, and praise the leader of the Kremlin, and that Republicans, leaders in Congress, would back Trump up is an indication of the real problem in our country, which is how deeply damaged our democracy is. Trump is the symptom of that deep damage, and if we don't get a handle on this and straighten it out, in time, our individual liberties and our prosperity will go away.
My guest is David K. Johnston. His book, It's Even Worse Than You Think, What the Trump Administration is Doing to America. How have these termites, as you described them, impacted worker safety in the workplace?
Well, about 4,800 Americans are killed on the job every year. The Trump administration stopped posting press releases to shame companies that have unsafe worker practices after workers are killed, because the fines companies get are quite minor. Then they stopped posting information on deaths. The last worker death in America posted at the Labor Department was in August of 2017. Now, they will not even give out basic statistical information. If you ask, well, how many people have died from electrocution, falls, being crushed, you know, what age were they, what state did they work, they will not give you the statistical information. What they're doing is emboldening those employers who practice the worst safety practices. Lots of companies go to great lengths to treat their workers well, but there are always companies that don't. That's why we have to have rules and regulations, not for the saints, but for the sinners. And this practice of lending aid and comfort to the worst among us is not limited to Labor Department and OSHA. It permeates this administration. And it's one of the things I detail throughout It's Even Worse Than You Think and show in different agencies how they're doing this. What Trump has created is something the ancient Greeks called a kakistocracy. That is a government by the worst of us, the most venal, the most corrupt, the most incompetent. And the people that Trump has appointed, many of them are as unqualified for their positions as he is, and those unqualified people have then brought in these political termites who, as a general rule, come from the industries that are supposed to be regulated and are making sure that laws passed to protect you from predatory lenders, unsafe employers, unscrupulous lenders, that those laws will not be enforced, even when the Congress has passed laws that say those laws shall be enforced. That is, it's not an option. It didn't say may be enforced, but shall be enforced. All that's being quietly undone by these political termites to the long-term detriment of your health. You're not going to die tomorrow from heart disease, cancer, or asthma from the increased pollution, but your children, or if you're my age, grandchildren or great-grandchildren, an unnecessary number of them will die prematurely because of this.
Many Americans have accumulated significant student loan obligations. Where does that leave them?
Well, they're really in a serious problem. The problem begins with our turning education into a loan business, which was a terrible public policy directive both parties were deeply involved in. But what Trump administration has done in the Education Department under Betsy DeVos, who almost didn't get confirmed and has no qualifications for what she's doing, is she brought in to address the student loan debt crisis lobbyists and executives from the very companies that are profiting off it. And she, by the way, has an investment in a student loan debt collection company. Now, she's a billionaire, so her investment is economically immaterial to her, but the symbolism is quite powerful. And the way that the Education Department and the Trump administration is handling the student loan matter, including not allowing many students who were swindled by these for-profit schools that have gone broke to get out of their loans, tells you that this is not the fox guarding the hen house. This is the fox redesigning the hen house so the foxes eat really well.
Mm. You conclude your book, "It's Even Worse Than You Think, What the Trump Administration is Doing to America," with a chapter, the conclusion, called "The Con Unravels." How do you see this, what so-called con, unraveling?
Well, Donald Trump is the greatest con artist in the history of the world. He conned his way into the White House. He persuaded people that I alone can save you, that he knew what to do here as president when he didn't know at all. And in his own words that I quote, especially under oath in his book, show that he is manifestly unqualified. As president, he confronted a problem he's never had. Donald Trump's business history is ripping people off. So you would be hired by him, Vic, to do some writing, and you'd turn it in, and you'd say, where's my $50,000 or $100,000 check? And Trump would say, I'm not going to pay you. I'm going to use it, but I'm not going to pay you. You'd say, well, give it back. No, I've got it. I'm going to use it. It's good work, but I'm not going to pay you. And he would say, sue me. And you go see a lawyer who would say, well, it'll cost you $300,000 to get your $50,000, so just write it off. There's one guy I write about, a Miami businessman, who wouldn't do this, and I tell how the Trump people tried to trick him and deceive him. Now, even as president, Trump kept refusing to pay this man despite court rulings that he had to pay. As president, what Trump typically would do is he'd rip you off, and then he'd go find another writer or another cabinet maker or whatever business it was he needed and rip them off. As president, he can't do that. He doesn't get to pick the dictator in North Korea. He has to go back to that well and deal with the same person again and again and again. Trump does not know how to operate in an environment where he's not in control of everything around him or can't rip people off and move on like a locust to the next wheat field. What we see happening with him is an inability to effectively deal with people from President Xi to Vladimir Putin to Chancellor Merkel to various senators and courts who issue rulings he doesn't like. He's completely unqualified and incapable of dealing with the same people over and over and over again. And this applies to every aspect of his life. As the journalist who's covered him the longest, almost 30 years, and not simply repeated his nonsense, but checked the facts on everything with him, and therefore often shown that what he says is nonsense, you know, Trump actually ended up with a quote that we used as a blurb on the book. That goes to the heart of this, that he doesn't know how to operate in an environment except as a grifter and a con artist. And so the con is, in fact, unraveling if people pay attention to what he's doing and not just listen to what he's promising, which is, of course, that's how con artists succeed. They get you to pay attention to what they want and ignore what they don't want you to see.
I was fascinated by how you account for a particular thing that you say that he did. He apparently owed a lot of money that he didn't pay back, and then he was able to turn that debt into an income tax deduction. How does that work?
Well, Donald Trump was going around in 1990 saying he was worth $3 billion or $5 billion, whatever number he made up at the time, and he couldn't pay his bills. So I revealed in 1990 that he wasn't a billionaire. And Donald called me a liar for 4 months until he had to disclose his own record showing he had a negative net worth. Or as I wrote at the time, you are probably worth more than Donald Trump. His bankers were owed $3 billion he couldn't pay back, and they had negotiated a deal outside of bankruptcy court. Some of the banks balked, so because they had better security. They had like first mortgages on properties as opposed to just signed notes like a credit card. So Trump got the New Jersey Casino Control Commission to take his side against the bankers he couldn't pay back. And basically they told the bankers, you will forgive almost $1 billion of Trump's $3 billion of debt, or you'll end up owning a bunch of hotels in Atlantic City without casino licenses. Now, that's not how the law is supposed to work, but since the banks, with two exceptions, were all from outside New York State and Trump was a big employer, it was easy for the politicians in New Jersey to ignore the law and take his side. Trump then went out and bought a tax shelter. The banks deducted their losses, and Trump deducted them as well. And this tax shelter was so odious that when the Congress learned of it, the Republicans who were in charge got a law passed in just weeks to stop this tax shelter that allowed you to deduct the losses that the bankers already took. But as Congress usually does, the people who'd already gotten the deal got to keep their ill-got gains. So Trump got to write off $918 million as a tax loss that was really income to him. And that's one of the things I showed from the 2005 income tax return that I got. And it's indicative of Trump's utter lack of scruples.
It seems to me, based on what I read in your book and other things that I've heard, that President Trump is making quite a bit of profit, personal profit, from being president. Is this right? Is he allowed to do that?
Yes, it's right. No, he's not. There's a chapter called Kleptocracy Rising. When Donald Trump left the Capitol after taking an oath to faithfully execute the law, he had the presidential limousine, known as the Beast, stop and got out with his family, and they took a two-minute turn on the street. What none of the TV networks reported is where they stopped. They stopped in front of the old post office and clock tower, which had recently reopened as the Trump International Washington Hotel. To foreign governments, to industry groups, to lobbyists for wealthy individuals, the message was unmistakable. If you want to do business with this administration, you will first pay tribute to Donald Trump. He doubled the price for joining Mar-a-Lago from $100,000 to $200,000. And every time he goes to his properties, and he spent one-third of his presidency at his properties, even though on the campaign trail he vowed to never leave the White House and never play golf because, after all, there's so much to do and so much to win. Who would ever leave? Who'd ever want to leave? Another con. Well, the founders of this country and the framers of our Constitution were very worried about the influence of money in politics. The word emoluments, which means economic gain, appears three times in our Constitution. It prohibits any gift from a foreign government or entity or representative to federal officials unless Congress specifically allows it. And it prohibits the president specifically from receiving any emolument, any economic benefit from the United States or any of them, that is, any of the state governments or their subsidiaries like cities and counties, beyond his salary and perks. And yet every time Trump goes to his properties, the Secret Service rents golf carts at the top price. They rent rooms at his hotels. The government buys meals and does all sorts of things at his properties that benefit him. Now, Trump said he would disgorge foreign profits, but I point out in the book that there's a loophole that he created, and I show how it works. It has to do with how you're billed. It's very easy to get around. And so every day, Trump is violating his oath of office and the emoluments clauses, but the only court ruling we have in a lawsuit I didn't think was well-crafted resulted in a judge holding that the person who sued lacks legal standing to sue. That's lawyer talk for, are you a party? Do you have a right to bring in litigation? And the court basically held that only Congress can enforce the emoluments clause. And, of course, as we've seen, the Republicans in Congress will not do their constitutional duty to act as a check on the actions of the executive. the president.
David, we really appreciate your time today.
Well, thank you. And I sincerely hope people read this book, because if you don't read it, you will not understand what's happening to you, because it's just not in the news. That's the reason I wrote It's Even Worse Than You Think, so that people would understand what is happening to our government and how it affects you and your children and grandchildren.
My guest has been David K. Johnston. His book, It's Even Worse Than You Think, What the Trump Administration is Doing to America. For the Book Nook, I'm Vic McInnes.